people think I come across that I'm very, you know, confident, but I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's helped me to develop that confidence in myself that I can do big things and I can, you know, just put your mind to it, you can do it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's just nice to hopefully pass that along to younger women, especially that, you know, might be feeling a little bit, you know, they look at social media and they think, oh, all these people, because I look at it and I'm older. So for younger women, I think it must be very, quite challenging sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You should just be your own person.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultra runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation will go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hello and welcome. This is the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk, the live version on Facebook. And my guest this week is Ruthie Laffey. And Ruthie, you are a runner from a trail runner, and also, if I remember, if I've read correctly, you're a running coach. And so we had run together in a race about a year ago, the Pumpkin Holler 100. And so I don't know that we had actually had a chance to talk when we were there, but that was one that we had both run and finished. So we had kind of connected through Facebook, I think through that. So
yeah.
Welcome to the show, Ruthie.
Thank you. Looking forward to chatting with you as we go on our trail run.
Yes. Yeah. We consider this a virtual trail run. And so as most trail conversations go, we just kind of start out and just say hi and see how things go. Usually when I run with somebody that I've never run with before, I usually, you know, the first thing I ask is give us a brief introduction about who you are.
Well, people might immediately hear that I have a funny accent. So I'm from England, moved to the States in 94, been running on and off since high school, but in high school it was always track running. Mm-hmm. And I really honestly didn't care for running that much then. And got the ultra bug in about 2014 after various marathons and halves and all that stuff throughout the early 2000s. And here I am, and I love trail running, and running's my passion, and I love to share it with anyone who'll listen.
Well, I think most of us that who are here are probably in that kind of situation. I love talking about running and hearing stories about people who run. So you said you ran in track in high school.
Yeah.
When was it then, when you got out of school, how was it that you... Did you like keep on running for fun, or you said you didn't like it so much in high school? So
no.
when did it become a thing that you didn't have to do, but you did because you wanted to?
Okay, right. Yes. Well, I'd say because after high school, I pretty much bailed on running completely, and I did the whole 80s fad with aerobics, and I taught aerobics and stuff.
Okay.
But we won't talk about leg warmers and all the leotards and stuff.
Uh-huh. I remember all of those. Yeah.
So I would say in 1986, with my first husband, we moved overseas to India. I lived in about 8 different countries with him. He was an oil field. So as part of my desperation to meet people, I learned about a group called the Hash House Harriers.
Yes, I have heard about them.
Yes, they're kind of crazy. They say they're a running club.
They're a drinking club.
A drinking club
with a running problem. Yes, I've read about that. Actually, I met somebody who had run with the Hash House Harriers. Yeah. Yes, when we were in Hawaii, and this lady started telling me about all of the things, and for some reason, the thing that stood out to her was she ran with no clothes. And I was like, I think it was something that was more toward the local club that she was with, not like because as I've talked to other people who are involved with Hatch House Harriers, no, that's not, that doesn't
happen. No, we have some weird things. They did some weird things, but it's really nice because in India, I forget how we even connected, but it was expats basically that connected and would run. And I realized that I kind of liked hanging out with this group of crazy people and running was fun again because there was no pressure. And at the end, you know, they would always pick on people to have a beer. You'd have to sit on a block of ice.
Okay. And
drink a beer if you did something stupid, like if you were last or if someone caught you peeing on the trail. I don't do that. You know, all this kind of stuff, all these weird things that, so all these different groups have different traditions. So,
are the traditions specific to that group? I mean, it's an international. I mean, I know it started in England, if I remember right.
Yes.
As a way for, I'm going by memory here. Whoever started it was kind of wanting to promote health and fitness, and they said, let's go out and sponsor these running events. And so. Right. So I know kind of the basics is there's people who are mark the trail and then the rest of the group is supposed to go and follow the trail.
Right. Okay. But there are some false trails and you have hares, the people that run out ahead and you know, you end up in all kinds of weird places.
Yeah. It sounds like it would be fun if you were trying to do it.
It really is.
So that was kind of the general thing. And then I think each individual club kind of added their own flair to it. So
yeah,
sitting on the block of ice.
I could remember one or two others. I think then when we moved to Nigeria after India, I got more into it there because the group of people were really close and it was just a good way to be connected. You know, we didn't have social media or the internet at the time. So you kind of stuck together and, I organized a hash with a couple of other ladies one time. It was called the Pink Hash. So we made everyone wear pink outfits and, you know, drink Pims at the end, and which is a British, very posh British drink. Pims.
Okay.
Yeah. And you mix it with like ginger ale and things, I think.
Okay.
Put cucumbers in it and all kinds of weird stuff. But it was fun. We did it through a banana grove and you know, they're black mambas, snakes, and so when I think back about all the crazy stuff we did, I'm like, ah. But it's running, you know, you kind of have that, you get that mentality, just go out there and have fun with it. And So I made quite a few friends doing that. And then I lived in South Africa, but there I did not do Hash House, but there was a serious running club. So I joined that and that was enjoyable and that connected me. And so I think by the time I got to the States, I was kind of getting into it a bit more.
Yes, South Africa has a pretty big running tradition with the comrades.
Yes.
And so were you involved in that at all? Or did you go and watch it?
No, we were in Cape Town. So it was, I forget, it's Durban maybe, or further up the coast. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really know about it then. I kind of knew about it, but not to the point where I thought I really want to go do it, which of course I regret now, knowing how amazing it is and what a tradition it is. And so, yeah, never got to do that, unfortunately. So,
yeah, there was a book that I read called The Rise of the Ultra Runner. British, I can't remember the author's name off the top of my head. Is it?
Right.
Really enjoyed that book. And he had talked about the comrades, about the traditions. And it sounded like the nation kind of, you know, it wasn't maybe, you know, maybe as popular as say the Super Bowl here, but it was a very pretty fairly well known, you know, event for South Africans.
Very much so. Yeah. It's very popular. So yeah, that's kind of, and then I ended up in the States in 1994. Mm-hmm. And my transition then was, I had a friend said, well, come and do a 5K with me. And I did really well in that. And then it evolved to, why don't you do a marathon?
Mm-hmm. Oh, from 5K directly to a marathon. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I did a few 10Ks, and I don't think I did any halves in between. I didn't know what I was doing. I just trained for, it was Houston Tenneco at that time. That's what it was called. And that was in 95. And I finished in like 3.5 hours. So it was pretty good. I mean, I didn't have a clue what I was, had no idea what I was doing, but I did that. And then of course, did a few more marathons, you know, Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon became a thing. And I did that for quite a few years and transitioned in about 2014 to ultras.
Okay. Okay. So you had quite a bit of road running background before you went into ultra marathons, or did you do any trail marathons?
No, didn't.
Just road running.
Right. And I think as I recall, it seemed like we didn't really hear about trail marathons. It was always road running. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because I lived in a city. I don't know, but I certainly love the trails a lot more now.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I don't remember. I mean, through the 90s, I knew people, I knew that there was a running movement. There were people who would see them out on the street on the roads and knew there were marathons, but I wasn't involved in the running scene at all. And mm-hmm. Certainly, when I thought of running, it was always on the road. It was I didn't have any clue that there was people racing on trails. But now that I'm a trail runner, I hear of these races that have been going on for years, and there's a long history of trail running and trail racing, and it just wasn't just wasn't that. Of course, now with social media, it's a lot easier to find things like that.
Yeah, ultra signups are a wonderful thing. And it's kind of bad for your pocketbook, but it's looking around and saying, what can I get into? And why, even with all the virtual stuff that's been going on.
Yeah. So where was your first your first experience with ultras? What was your what did you run first?
My first one actually was Pumpkin Hollow.
Oh wow, okay.
2014, I think, the 15th.
So how long has Pumpkin Hollow been going on?
Oh gosh. I think probably about 15 years, maybe.
Okay.
I think it's been a while.
Started 2005 or so.
Probably, yeah. I might be wrong, but I know they've been going for a while. And I did that and I felt, I trained well for it. I tried to figure out my training, but really with that, it's not so much more different than a marathon.
Right. And it is still on roads. I mean, it's a gravel road, which is a little more difficult, but it's, and there's some decent elevation, some decent hills on it.
For Oklahoma. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There are places in Oklahoma I have found that have some really, really amazing hills.
Oh, you need to tell me about those.
The Outlaw 100.
Oh yes, actually, I'm going to do that next month.
You're doing that.
I'm doing the 50K.
You're not the 50K. Okay.
I'll get my feet in for that one because that's a lot of climb.
Yeah, that's a lot of climbing. I paced someone there, in 2019.
Oh wow!
I got to run the course with her, and I didn't. I mean, I saw it all at night, it was like, there were places where I could tell that there was a big, vast drop off beside me because it was dark, but there were no trees and you could just kind of tell that there was empty space. And it wasn't like it was a narrow ledge in the straight down cliff, but it was, we were on top of the ridge and it was a pretty steep drop off. And so.
Goodness. Yeah. I'm quite looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be fun.
So, and I have a, I'm going to be back pacing again, a different guy, a different runner. So I'm going to be, I'll be there at the.
Good. That's good.
But, I'm going to be doing it on Sunday. So, I'll pick him up on Sunday morning.
Wow. Yeah. That's long. Cause that's so hard. And I know it takes that. I mean, some people are out there for a long while.
The lady that I paced, I think she finished in 42 hours.
That's incredible.
That is, yeah. It's
that blows my mind because you have to stay up I mean, you can get a little nap or whatever on the trail, but
Well, I know she didn't sleep. I mean, I paced her overnight. I know she didn't sleep. I picked her up about 7 o'clock in the evening, and we were done at 5 a.m. And she kept on going.
That's amazing.
So I don't know that she slept at all during that whole time.
But, that's impressive.
But yeah, it's a tough course.
That's why I'm doing the 50K.
Yeah.
And actually, I have to tell you, you've heard of Barkley, right?
I've heard of Barkley. Yes, the Barkley. Yeah.
I got into the Barkley 4 Classic, which is a 50K.
Yes.
In September. I think I'm the virgin offering probably. So I really have to get some climbing in, seriously. I have a couple of friends that have done it several times, and I know, because they're hardcore runners, I know it has to be really gnarly. So I need I've got enough time to plan it out. So
that's for this year, the Barkley the Fall Classic for 2021. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. One of the guys in my running group ran the Fall Classic, I think it was 2019. He ran the bar, and he came back, and I'm trying to remember if he finished. I think he did finish, but because it is just a 50K.
Yeah, you can do a marathon. They have a marathon, because if you run out of time, that you can do the marathon instead of the 50K.
But yeah, he came back. He had scratches all over his legs. the rat jaw. And and I can't remember if he got lost or not, but I don't remember. Yeah. So the Fall Classic, do they do the same as the regular Barkley marathons?
It's kind of a secret, or a kind of a surprise unveiling. Okay. So you don't really know until the day before, maybe, or the day of. So
do you still have to bring your own map and navigate?
I think so. I think it's very basically you and the environment. Yes. You know, you have to be prepared in a lot of different ways. Whereas a lot of races that we do on trail, we're quite spoiled, which is good, because I don't want to get lost.
Right.
I managed to get lost on a trail at Lake McMurtry, where I run all the time. So it's not hard for me to get lost.
I've seen your Strava that you've done there. There's a lady that I have trained with. She's getting ready for the, there's a race there in spring, in April.
Lake McMurtry Trail Run. Yes.
She's going to do that's going to be her first 50K.
Is it? That's wonderful. That's a great one. It's I did the 100K there, not last year, the year before. And it was great. It was, and I know that in the area really well, because I'm there all the time, but it's good. It's a great trail to kind of cut your teeth on.
Yes, it looked like it was not a lot of elevation, and it looked like it was fairly well done.
Right, and it's well marked and all of that stuff.
That's it. Well, the thing that always struck me about the Barkley Marathon, since you were talking about that, is that they didn't allow you to have a GPS watch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I think that's still a thing. So
even the Fall Classic is that.
So. I think so. Yeah, I think they're pretty. It's a very kind of lucrative, you know, elusive thing. But I'm kind of excited to go and.
That is exciting.
Terrifying, but exciting.
Cool. So you did Pumpkin Holler was your first one. Where did you go from there?
Let's see. I did. The next one that was pretty, really, I did the 50 miler. Kansas Rails to Trails.
The Rails to, okay.
The Kansas, the 50 miler in the spring, I think. I can't remember the name of it now. But I did that. I've done that a couple of times.
Okay.
The first year I did that, I think it was, It was with a friend called Bill Ford, who used to own a bagel shop in town. And this is how I kind of got into ultras, because I went into his store one day and I was really proud of myself because I'd run like 10 miles. And like, oh, have you been running? I was like, yeah. He says, oh, I had to run like 30 miles or something because I'm training for a 100 miler. And I said, what? People do that? Why? And then it really piqued my curiosity and I started to, you know, ask more questions. And then obviously I got on the internet and started figuring out, oh, this is a thing. I need to figure it out. And so that's kind of when I made the transition to the 50 milers.
Okay.
And so he actually ran with me in that first 50. In fact, I've got my
was that the Heartland Prairie Spirit. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I've got my my war thing up there on my shelf.
Yeah, I remember, because there's a Heartland Classic as well, which is on gravel roads.
Right.
And so I never, you know, I always get the two of those switched.
Yeah, because that, yeah, the Prairie Spirit is really great because it's the out and back and it's very flat. So it was the first time I did it, though, I got, as a runner, you know, you hate to be injured, but I got a stress fracture in my sacrum 18 miles in, and I had no idea what it was. I knew it was painful, but I finished. But then, of course, I couldn't run for about 2 or 3 months, probably, while I healed. But then I've done another 50 miler there about 3 years ago again. That went well.
Do you find you like the flatness of the rail to trail? Or
yeah, I kind of do. But they say with people that run, I think it depends what you're adapted to. If you run flat, for someone to come from a hilly environment to run on, you know, with no elevation is harder because their muscles are slightly different the way you employ them, you know. So, and I think that's why for me it's harder to get on hills and, you know, a lot of climbing. But it's something that as a runner is necessary if you want to improve. You know, it's just hard though.
Yeah. So do you have hills where if I remember, you live in Oklahoma, or there?
Stillwater, Oklahoma, yes.
Okay.
And I work.
Are there places that you can find some elevation to train on hills, or?
Yes. I don't know if you've heard of the Land Run. It's actually a bike race, but they also have a 50K in that. And some of the roads, it's gravel roads again, but then you can, in a 50K, I think we get about 4,000 feet of climb. So, you know, not bad for Oklahoma. And there are some hills that I could go to. And I found a little place near Boomer Lake, which is local in town, where I'd have to do a lot of repeats, but I could get some elevation there. And of course, you could go down to Mount Scott, which is southwest Oklahoma, I think.
Okay.
And that's 2.7 miles to run up, I think. But that's a mountain, basically. So you could get some really good train there.
Okay.
To get there is, you know.
Trying to remember. That's not the Wichita Mountains.
I think, no, because that's on the other side, isn't it? Maybe I'm.
Southwest is.
Somebody's going to correct me, I'm sure. I'm not very good at this directions thing. I'm from England. We go left, right, go around the hedge. Go around that corner. But yeah, from there, I decided I needed to do my first 100 miler. So that was, I think, 2018, Brazos Bend.
Okay.
In, is that Huntsville? Well, it's down in Texas.
Down in Texas, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the Tejas trails.
Right.
I saw that on their website.
They have some good races. But oh my goodness, it rained solid the whole time. It rained the night before. I had two friends that went with me to crew me and pace me. And it rained probably about 7 inches. I don't know.
My goodness.
It was It was really tough, but it was just like a mud bath, the whole thing. So, but I finished it. It took me 27 hours.
Okay.
That was actually my second 100. My first, I didn't finish because I was injured when I went in, and I stopped at 50 miles. So
running in the mud, how were you able to finish that? Because the, and you said it was, you said it rained at the start. Is that?
It was raining pretty much the whole time on and off during the race as well. The mud was tough. It's mentally tough to keep going because you know how it is. You try and run in that for any period of time, you're just going to get very tired and frustrated.
Right.
Plus, your feet are going to be gross.
Yeah.
I did really well with that for some reason. I think mentally I was just prepared going in because I knew it was going to be really tough. You know, as an ultra runner, you just have to have that mindset that, you know, sometimes you look back and think, wow, however did I do that? But it's just you're in that mental space to do it, and you've made up your mind, unless you're injured or you have a good enough reason to quit, which often you don't. You just keep going. But I never changed my shoes. I had trail toes, which, you know, I really like. So I put tons of that on my feet. And then I changed my socks 2 or 3 times, but never my shoes, because by the time I went out again, they were wet already. So, but yeah, by the end of the early in the next morning, when the sun was coming up, I'd started to get quite cold. So I knew I just had to really keep moving to, you know, not get cold, because then that's going to be a bad situation. So, but I made it, and I was thrilled to bits that I pushed through and made it. And I think any runner who does, you know, has a goal and they achieve it, they just feel it's just something to be really quite proud of, you know, because you push through a lot of mental issues and tiredness and, you know.
And especially with mud, my first attempt at 100 miles, it started out, we had heat, but in the middle of the night, we had a terrible thunderstorm. The thunderstorm was okay, but by the time the sun came up, the rain had soaked in. And if it was level, it was okay, but going down the hills was just treacherous.
Yes.
That really slowed a lot of people down.
Was that in Oklahoma or?
No, that was Kansas.
In Kansas.
It was Kansas, yeah. The Hawk 100.
Oh, goodness. Whew. I did the 50 miler there maybe years ago, and that was hard.
Yes, it's.
It was quite technical. I fell over really hard one time, but I kept going, obviously. Oh. That's what you do, you know. Even though your leg's fallen off, you just kind of, you know, make it work.
Right. Well, and then in 2019, which is when I did it, was we'd had rain, and so the lower trails were flooded. Most of the trail was run on that upper technical trail. So you got the technical part twice as much.
I remember they had to change a lot of things about it, I think. Wow.
And it was a tough race, and I was not able to finish, missed the cutoff because I just couldn't go fast enough in the mud.
Yeah.
So I did the Pumpkin Holler. My friends talked me into doing that.
That's a great one. Yeah. I think when you don't, you know, we all have DNFs. Well, most of us do. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, you learn a lot from that. And I did a kind of a blog post afterwards. It did not finish, you know.
Right.
For me, I learned a lot from that. And I was proud of the fact that I tried, and, you know, it's that the one I couldn't finish. It was okay, you know, and I think that resonated with a lot of people when I posted it, because it makes you, you know, on social media so much anymore, you see so many people that are doing all these amazing things, and you try not to compare yourself. I always want to come across as an authentic person and a real person, because anyone can do this if they put their mind to it. You know, I'm sure you've had people come up to you and say, "Oh, I don't know how you do that." I'm like, "Well, but you can do it.
You can do it. Yes.
Anyone can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. You know, I can run at night by myself in the middle of nowhere and just be fine with it. Anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it. Yes. Yeah. Well, and the thing that gets me is I have people who, when they found out I've run 100 miles, they say, "I can't imagine doing that." and as I said, but that's what gives you the ability to do that. Is it, if you can imagine and see yourself, if you can imagine that, you can figure out a way to train and actually do that.
Right.
And so that's with any big goal. I mean, it starts with, you have to be able to have that imagination, that mindset to go, "Yes, I'm going to," you know, and usually for me, I mean, if it was somebody else, I saw someone else do it and I went, "Well, if they can do it, then I bet I can do that."
Right. And you pass along that inspiration to other people. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, as I'm 58 now, and I'm just really feel so strong, and I feel proud that I can do these things, not at my age, but you know, it's it's a testament and a kind of, you hope to put that seed in someone else that's younger and say, you know, this could be part of your life and a good, because it teaches you discipline and just so many things, you know, about life. It's not just about the running, but yeah. Everything.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit older than you. I started when I was 60.
Wow.
And so, you know, and I had been through my 40s, you know, out of shape and, you know, just not, you know, not doing anything, just the typical American, you know, not eating right. And it wasn't in bad health, but it was, I wasn't able to go out and run. I mean, that for sure. I just didn't have that. And some of the things that I started doing to change my mindset, get over some things that had been holding me back in other areas of my life, started making some progress. And then I said, "Well, you know, I've made these other changes. I bet I could run." And so that's how I started.
That's awesome. I love the stories that people have. It's not just, and I think with ultra running, it's so nice that you can line up at a race and be next to some elite, amazing people. You know, I think are totally amazing. But they're just pretty normal people, you know?
Yes.
And you just feel like it's such a great community to be a part of. I think it's the best kept secret, really.
Well, and I appreciate the community because it to some extent, doesn't matter how fast you are. I mean, we're out there running long, crazy distances. And so, you know, the people who finish first will hang around or if you see them on the trail, you know, passing, you get encouragement from people no matter how fast you are.
Right.
And, for me, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, I'm not the fastest, but, you know, but I can keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a good place and you're out in nature. And I feel with the pandemic, it's been really my therapy even more to be able to get out in nature and just kind of tune into what's going on around me rather than having to think about all the craziness, you know. Yeah. It's just nice to have something that you can connect with, and it's a passion that you, and it's just very enjoyable to be able to still do it, you know.
Yes, and I love being out in the woods and just seeing all of the changes and being out there by myself.
Right, I do too. Yeah, I never thought I'd be one of those people actually, but we go up to Colorado like several times a year to a place called Lake City, and it's at about 8,900 feet. Elevation, so you're already up there, and so we just got back over Christmas, and I just love running up there too. You know, I know there are wild animals, but I I can't live my life worrying about. I'm sure they're more interested in other things than me, but you know, you're always a bit apprehensive. And but there are so many beautiful places to explore up there. It's just amazing. Yes.
I have not been able to hike in Colorado for a long time, and it's just one of those things that I would love to get back out there and do. And Utah is another place that I'd like to go.
I've never been there. And
I've heard just from a lot of people who've been out there is like that's kind of on my list of places to go.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I would kind of like to do Leadville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really a Western States person. I think that's become quite commercial. I mean, I like to watch and follow the people that are running, you know, but, and of course, it's all lottery system. So
right.
I think the thing about virtual race running races over this past year, at first I was kind of thinking, virtual races, I don't really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's taught me and a lot of people probably that you, and I've always been this way, I just go out to run because I love to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's taught people that they can do really cool things on their own, and it doesn't have to always be in a race environment. It's nice to be in mm-hmm. that. I actually did a self-supported 50 miler in, I think it was March or April last year.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I wasn't going to be able to race the race I wanted to do. So I was like, I'm just going to go do my own.
A lot of people have done that. And there was a lady in our running group that did the Hawk 100 was canceled, mm-hmm. and she really wanted to do it. So she went to the course and had a team. They rented a cabin, and she did a self-supported 100 mile trail race out there.
That's so great.
And you know, she had,
yeah, totally.
She had people out there with her, but yeah, she did it, and.
That's super fun. I mean, I just feel like for me, running has is a great way to be able to connect with people as well that don't necessarily run, or, you know, have some people follow me and, you know, on social media, and they, it's just nice to be able to share it and be real about it and authentic. And I think for me, it's given me a great sense of confidence. Because people think I come across that I'm very, you know, confident, but I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's helped me to develop that confidence in myself that I can do big things, and I can, you know, just put your mind to it, you can do it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's just nice to hopefully pass that along to younger women, especially. That, you know, might be feeling a little bit, you know, they look at social media and they think, oh, all these people, because I look at it and I'm older. So for younger women, I think it must be very, quite challenging sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You should just be your own person.
Yeah, that I see in some of the running groups that I'm involved in. There seem to be a lot of runners that feel intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you said you have that kind of confidence now, but was there a point when you went through that of feeling like I don't quite fit in?
Yes, totally. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because you feel like, well, I have to win, or I have to do really well to fit in with this group of people,
mm-hmm.
especially when it was outside of ultra or trail running, you know, it's different. But yeah, I would feel quite intimidated by other people, and would let that hold me back a little bit, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, was it more with roadrunners when you were with the roadrunners?
Yeah, I feel like you hear that a lot with cyclists too. There's I try to say that subtly, but
I would say that, and I mean. I have people that I know who are road cyclists, but in general, my experience with road cyclists are they're a very elitist. There's an elitist attitude,
right?
And if you can't keep up, then it's like, well, hope you make it.
I know. That's definitely not me. I think probably gravel riders are very different. We have a great community in town, actually, of the district bikes. They're amazing. They have really brought the community together, and that they do this big gravel ride, every March. But I don't know if it's supposed to happen this year, so let's hope it does. But they have about 1,200 cyclists that come in to town, and it's incredible. And they, but they're all like gravel riders, so it's a very kind of like ultra runners. They're more laid back and let's go have fun with this. And that's the one where they have the 50K race too for people to do that, which is really great.
Okay. Yeah. And Emporia, Kansas has something similar. Well, their big event is called the Dirty Kansas.
That's right.
And so they have, I don't know if they did it this year, but I know in 2019 they have a 50 mile gravel ride, 100 mile gravel ride, a 200 mile gravel ride. And then in 2019, they started a 350 mile gravel ride.
Yes. And I've heard about that. I think I had a friend that was doing single speed, maybe.
Okay. Yes. that's tough.
That sounds horrendously tough. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll stick to running.
I'll stick to running too.
Yeah. I mean, I took my coaching Road Runners Club of America coaching course 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've had a few people, clients, but with my full-time job, I have, it's just been not consistent. But I love to help people, achieve their goals and, it's fun.
As a coach, then what do you offer to your clients when they, who's the kind of person who you help the most?
Well, I've had most primarily ladies. And I had one guy that I helped with his running gait, which was kind of a different thing.
Okay.
So we kind of reviewed and tried to help him with that. Mainly young ladies that did the ones I've had, and they've had goals of marathons or primarily things that are not ultra, but I often think it would be kind of fun to switch it up a little and be more ultra focused, because that's where I love to delve in the most and understand how the body reacts in ultras. And it's just so fascinating.
Yes.
So
And even the difference between a marathon and the 50K, for most people say it's not that much farther.
Yeah.
But in when you are at that 26 miles, that last bit, and that's what I think in any ultra distance, it's the last 1/4 or 1/3 of the race that really is the place where you have to dig in. And in 100 mile, it hits somewhere between 60 and 80 miles, and you get to that point and it's dark, and your body is saying,
Yes. Yeah. I remember thinking before my first 100 miler, I would look at people's times and split it out per pace and go, I could do that. What's the deal? But yeah, you don't know until you do it. It's completely different ball game when you're doing it. It's just different.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and there's just so many things that will that can happen. I mean, physically, your hydration, your eating, and so when you're coaching, do you then also talk about the making a nutrition plan?
I don't know. I mean, I primarily focus on structuring, for a goal, or like if someone wants to do a marathon, I do the you know, build up and the different stages of, you know, what you need to be training in this
training
time. I like heart rate zone training. I think, but I try to ask a lot of questions initially to find out how that person works, how they think, you know, how, so I can get a better idea how to formulate a program for them based on their personality a bit as well, because everyone's different. And, you know, just I like to offer a lot of encouragement always and be very, I'm a very supportive coach. I'm not one of these people that says, you need to do blah, blah, blah. Because I that's just not me. And I know if somebody tried to coach me that way, I'd shrivel up into a little, like, no, don't. I couldn't, that wouldn't work for me, you know. So you just have to be very aware of different personalities and how people want to be coached, I think.
Well, and as a coach, I mean, I think the role of a coach is to help people tap into things that they don't know they have.
Right. That's such a good way to put it. Yes.
So it's not that you're driving them,
right,
but you're encouraging them to dig deep enough into themselves that they're finding their own strength. Because,
right. And I think also having a coach, you look at what you're doing that day and you go do it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not too much thought behind what you have. You have a specific plan. So it just kind of makes it easier to just be disciplined about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very disciplined anyway in my own, although I'm probably my own worst coach, because I probably should do more hill training, more speed training, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, eh.
I have not, the strength training is something that I tend to skimp on. And this morning I was like, I need to get.
Well, and that's important too, right? Because as an older athlete, you become very aware that you lose strength, especially as a woman as well. You know, we lose a lot of our strength, and our muscles deteriorate. It's just how you just have to age gracefully, quite literally. I mean, so you just have to find ways to make sure you stay on top of that. And I think I've just been very blessed genetically, probably as well, with how running just seems to work really well for me.
So. Yeah, that's good. And you've placed at the top of a lot of the races that you're in. So you're pretty strong runner.
Well, there's a thing about me, because my friends will always say, "Oh, you're going to go do really good and you're going to win, or you're going to place." I'm like, "No, I'm not." And then I'll be like, "Okay, maybe."
Yeah.
Then once you get going, I don't like to put the cart before the horse. Uh-huh.
So do you have a competitive drive when you're in a race?
Yes. I'm horrible. I mean, it's good and bad, because I'm a very bad loser, but nowadays, you know, it's all relative, because it's about my race and not about other people. Mm-hmm. So I've matured enough to know that I need to set my goals and my time, and, you know, have got a goal A, B, and C. If the wheel off, you know, at least mentally, I'm not going to just go, "Oh, I quit because I suck." But yeah, I'm very competitive with myself.
Okay.
And people around me, sure, I'm not going to lie. I think if I see someone ahead of me in that moment, I'm going to go get them, and especially if it's a guy. So I am very competitive in that way. Even when I'm just training in town, or if I see someone, I'm like, I'm going to go beat them. So, yeah, we'll have little, you know, encouragement between friends, a little bit of competitive spirit, you know, well, you go run that. Well, I'm going to go run more than you and see how you like it, kind of thing, you know. It'll be fun, but yeah, I'm quite competitive, yeah. But I'm just happy with what I was blessed with, really. And as long as I can, my goal now is to run as long as I can continue to run, you know, healthily and, you know, in a not obsessive way, but kind of, Yeah, I think all ultra runners are a bit upset.
For ultra runners, we're always upset.
I know. Yeah.
But there's a difference between, I have some friends that as they have a fear of getting older, you know, and that there's a fear of like, I'm not going to be able to continue to do this. And I've heard that from other people on social media. People are in their 40s who are saying, how long am I going to be able to continue to run? And I'm like, you're 40 years old.
You gotta
be kidding me. You know? Yeah. But that's we're so conditioned to the fact that getting old means you, my father-in-law has said that for, you know, a long time. He's like, well, when you get to be 80 years old, you can't. And every time I hear that, I was like, no, don't put that on me because that's not universal.
Right.
And, did you ever hear of, you may have been out of the country when he was popular, Jack LaLanne.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
amazing.
He was an amazing guy. Yes. And he was in his 90s and he was a big swimmer, but he was a workout. He would teach workouts on TV back in the 1960s.
Right.
And so, he had this goal of lifetime fitness. Yeah. And so I remember him on TV early and kind of heard of him throughout the years, but I think he was in his 90s.
Yeah.
And his thing was swimming, and he tied his arms behind his back and towed two rowboats full of people.
Oh my God.
For like a mile. And he was like, he was always doing, you know, that was kind of swimming with his arms, you know, just using his feet. He may not have had his arms behind his back. He may have just had his arms tied together so he couldn't stroke. But he was doing feats like that, you know, when he was, you know, maybe not the 90s, but I know he was in his 80s. He was doing things like that.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing him doing like weight exercises when he was in his 90s and push-ups and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, push-ups.
So much energy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He died of pneumonia, but he had done his normal workout the day before. So it was like, I've kind of looked at him, and then there are others. There's Sister Madonna Booter, called the Iron Nun. She was running Ironman marathons at 86.
Right.
And
amazing.
So I look at these people and I'm thinking, I don't have to accept the normal, you know, wisdom of getting older means that you have to. I mean, yeah, there are things that your body will do that, you know, you have to keep your muscles up. You know, there are things, but I think that just kind of throwing up your hands saying like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get old and everything's going to fall apart. Yeah. I'm not going to accept that.
No, me neither. I think that's a self-fulfilling prophecy once you start to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've always joked about, you know, I don't want to sit around in support hose and crimpoline dresses and have a purple rinse because that's not who I am. I'm going to be out there trying to do my thing as long as I can. And, you know, I think things have changed a lot, obviously, even in the last 10 years about how we view aging. And, you know, they say, what is it, 60 is the new 40 or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, advances in medicine and understanding more about our bodies and, you know, what we can do to improve them. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the most healthy eater because I love to eat ice cream and honey and all that stuff, but I run, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of people who do that. I found just from experience, I still have to watch what I eat. I can run, if I don't eat right, I'll start putting on the weight, even though I'm running. So,
again, that's just, you know, how our bodies change over time, but we just keep going on. And, you know, I feel like it gives you a lot more energy. It helps you sleep better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these things, if people listen to this, you know, it's encourage them to just find something that's their passion and something that's good and stick with it and share it with other people. That's how I feel about running. I'm very passionate about it because it's just taught me so much about myself.
Yeah. So what is your future look like as far as running? What do you have any goals for new adventures?
Well, you know, the 200 milers, you know, at the Tahoe.
The Tahoe 200.
There's three at the Triple Crown. Yeah,
Bigfoot
and
Moab 240.
Yes, I'd love to do that one. I think that would be beautiful. But I don't think I'd want to do it on my own. I'd want to go do it with somebody. I don't know. I don't even know how you wrap your head around doing that, but that would be kind of interesting.
I've been intrigued by the 200-mile distance as well, because that's just a multi-day. You know, you have to, there's a whole different mindset for that.
And right.
In fact, David Terrio from Tulsa, he has a Run the Riot podcast.
Okay, yes.
This year he'd planned to do the Triple Crown, but I think he wasn't able to make it. So actually, I think this year, in 2020, this year, 2021, he is working to do the Triple Crown. He's going to do all three of the 200 mile races. He's going to do. He completed Tahoe, I think, the Moab 240. He had some his stomach issues and had to drop out. So,
yeah, I think that's quite appealing. Multi-stage races sound kind of interesting, but I don't. The Costa Rica Challenge sounds really kind of interesting too. Mm-hmm. But very hot and humid. I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to do a few more hundreds and get those to see where I can go with that. Because my last one I did was 22 hours and some change, I think. And I think I could do better. But, you know, it's. I think as you do more, you learn more and you know how to, you're like, okay, and I kind of know what to expect. And then you learn something else each time you do it. And of course, then the wheels can come off just as easily the other way. But, you know, that's how it is with ultras. So
if you do Leadville, that has its own challenges with the altitude the times for running a 100 mile, there's so much dependent upon the terrain. Yes. And like Leadville, the altitude.
I really need to go do some more challenging hundreds, I think, like mountainous ones. In Lake City, Colorado, where we go, have you heard of the High 100? I think they did it last year and the year before, but it's basically they hit all of the five peaks.
Yes. The 514,000.
Which is incredible. I think the guy finished in like 30 hours or something. I'm like, I don't even know how you do that.
It's 100 mile race.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And then there's Nolan's and all these people have been doing the FKTs this past year, which has been really kind of interesting to hear some of those.
Last week I spoke with Lady Crystal McGee. She did rim to rim to rim to rim to rim.
I listened to that.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. She did really good too.
She said very few women have done the quad crossing.
I would love to do that. Just rim to rim even. I think a few of us, my running friends had talked about doing that a few years ago, but we didn't get around to it. But that sounds really fun and appealing. Yeah. But of course you have to plan ahead for, I guess, to be in the park and all of those kind of things, but that would be pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes. That's one of the things on my list that I would like to do, rim to rim to rim. So cross over and back.
What else is on your list that you would like?
Well, I'm signed up for the HAWQ 100, and so it was deferred from last year. They canceled it because of COVID, so I deferred it to this year. I was actually signed up for the Bandera 100K, which was coming up this weekend.
Yeah,
and I ended up testing positive for COVID, and so I have very mild symptoms. Today's my day that I'm off of quarantine, but I decided 3 days of, you know, it's not that I was going to pass it on to anybody.
No.
But there's running that kind of race lowers your immune system so much. And I've just in talking it over and thinking about it, I thought I really need to defer and not I feel like I go out and run. I mean, but
yeah.
It's like, yeah, no,
I agree. I think you need to give your body a bit more time. It's like flu or anything, you know, you start, you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe not. But yeah, I think that's really smart.
So I got a deferment, and so I'll pick one of the Tejas Trails races. Either, you know, I'm still thinking Bandera for, you know, just defer for a year. Mm-hmm. One that's on my list that I want to do is the Javelina 100.
Yes. Party in the desert, right?
Party in the desert. Party in the desert. Talked to it was Crystal McGee. I was talking to her last week. She said that it's surprisingly not a very technical course. And there's not a lot of elevation. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, ups and downs, not mountains.
The heat is the one thing that concerns me.
The heat is there, yes.
Yeah. I have a hard time, you know, you acclimate, but it takes me all summer to acclimate, I think. By the end of the summer, I'm like, I think I'm good now, but yeah.
Well, in Oklahoma, just like we have in Kansas, there's a lot of humidity.
Oh, yes.
And I noticed this year my body was more susceptible to the humidity the previous year. I tend to handle heat fairly well, but this past summer, the humidity really slowed. Well, and other people as well. I mean, I had other friends that I run with, and
it was pretty high a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't overly hot. I mean, I don't think we even hit 100 where we were here in Kansas, but the humidity was so high. Even when it was in the 80s, it slowed everybody down.
Yeah, it does. And you've got all these weather apps now. They'll tell you all the humidities and the, you know, all of that stuff. And it's just, it's just really hard because you see it and then you already know it's going to be really hard to, the dew point is the thing, I guess. But yeah.
Right.
Like, this is going to suck, but oh well.
Yes, the thing is, in the wintertime, when the weather's cold, you know, in the 40s, you know, my body performs a lot better.
Yes.
But I love summer. I mean, I love the green and, you know, all of that. So it's kind of this.
See, I'm normally a cold, and the only time I like the cold is when I run in it, which is really weird because I'm definitely not. I'm always cold. But last week I was running up in Lake City, and it was like -12 or, you know, it was really, really cold. Mm-hmm. But it's a different cold. So if you wrap up right, you know.
Okay. Yeah, it was dry.
It's, I mean, you wouldn't want to be caught in a situation where you had to stop or something happened. You need to have plans in place to have someone come get you or something because it's so cold.
In that situation, you could actually, you know, you wouldn't feel cold and you could get hypothermia fairly easily.
Yeah, very easily. Yeah. So you just have to be very aware of those things. But I don't know what else is on my list. The people, the outlaw group that do all the races, Jeremy Harrison in Oklahoma, they're doing such a great job with all, they've got one called Flower Mound, I think it's called. It's in May, And that's a 50K. And I think I'm going to sign up for that.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, hopefully these, I feel like the race directors and the teams are figuring out how to make it work, you know, with all the COVID restrictions. And because I've done a couple of races and it's, you know, it's fine. You just, we're outside and, you know, just have to try and be aware of, you know, distance. And when you get to the aid station, they've got it all, everything's individually packed. And
yes. Well, aid stations for, I mean, I ended up with, you know, with some sort of a virus from an aid station back before COVID.
I'm not surprised when you think of what we do.
The thing I was eating the most was watermelon. I'm like, okay, we're all diving into the watermelon with bare hands. I ended up with some sort of a virus, but
I can understand that. It's kind of, when you think about it, it's kind of like,
but I mean, that's been one of the things that we've all survived it. So.
Yeah, I know. It's good for your immune system. Yeah. Build it up.
Yeah, it is good for the immune system. But and just, you know, the other thing, you know, you talk about being out in nature. I mean, we are exposed to the elements and the things that nature is not sanitized. And so, you know, we've got, you know, getting dust down our shoes and the dust of the trail sticks to us. And so there's that, you know, that resistance that we have built up just by being out in, you know, you were talking about running in the mud,
right?
Covered with mud. Very
basic about it. Like, it's a human instinct to want to be in that environment, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It kind of makes you go back to basic things and feel like you're out there kind of doing the thing and in the nature.
Well, and, you know, we insulate ourselves from nature, you know, typically. You know, we've got concrete sidewalks, you know, which, I mean, I'm grateful for. Yeah. But we don't get as touch the earth like we used to.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, and to see nature and see animals and just be out there and not have to worry about, don't have to switch the TV on. There's no plastic sound. It's just all so natural. It's just it's very therapeutic.
So. And I'm guessing you probably run without music.
I do not. Yeah, I don't run with music, but I do. I have a penchant for crime podcasts.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of crime podcasts.
Okay. Okay.
So, or otherwise I don't, you know, in races I tend not to until it gets later in the day or to the nighttime. And then I want to put something on, you know, but, yeah, crime podcasts and running podcasts. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Well, Ruth, I usually try to keep these to about an hour, and we've hit an hour, and so I appreciate your time, and it's been great chatting with you. And so, if someone sees this or hears this, how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way?
If they look at Facebook, I'm Ruthie Loffey, my name, Ruthie Loffey. On Instagram, this is going to sound really, really odd, but I'll tell you after I spell it what it means, at Bishy Barnaby. That's BISHBARNABEE. And that in England is a ladybug. Yeah, where I come from in Norfolk, that's a very kind of a very specific area, but that's in it, so that's kind of complicated. But I think if you type my name in, it will come up as well.
Yes, I believe Instagram will do that with
your name. But they're the two the best places to get hold of me. I do have a coaching website as well, but it's linked in on my Facebook. If you look more about, you can click there or just reach out to me on Messenger. And but if anyone wants to be encouraged to get on the trails or run or have any questions about those types of things, I would love to bend their ear in a nice way.
Yeah. And you know, I know there are people who try to use off-the-shelf training plans, and that's not always the best thing to do.
Right. Yeah. So
you really need to have somebody who can interact with you and talk, you know, say, here's right. when you run into things, because just trying to fit yourself into that structure doesn't necessarily always, it's not always just the best
thing. I agree. I think we're there more like almost like a support, you know, a cheerleader, but that we know some more stuff, you know, that we can give them, but mainly a cheerleader, which I think is great.
Yeah. Well, great. And I'll put the notes that I've got here. I'll put your contact information. So
fantastic. I've had such fun.
Thank you a lot. I appreciate you taking time to talk with me, number three. And I look forward to seeing you. I don't know exactly when I'm going to get to Outlaw. I think is the 50K race is on Saturday, if I remember right. My plan is, just because I'll be running Sunday morning as a pacer. My plan is to drive down Saturday, so I'm going to get there Saturday evening. So hopefully I will run into you at the Outlaw.
Oh, I hope so. I think I should stay around and be like maybe pay someone or support somebody, because they're going to be out there a long while.
They're gonna be out there a long while, yeah.
The 135 people, especially.
Yes, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, the 135 is, I mean, that's a long ways to go on that course. 100 miles is a long ways to go on that course.
Well, that's why I picked the 50K. I thought I'm not going to bite off more than I can chew with the climbing, and I know it's pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of climbing, but it's a beautiful course. So
yeah, I'm excited. I hope I get to see you there.
Yeah, I hope I get to see you too. So well, good luck with that, and hopefully we'll get to see you in about a month.
Yeah, otherwise we'll see each other on social media.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks again.
All right, thank you to Eric. It's been great fun.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.